Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Right, we're waiting for the Labour leader, Alan Kelly. Apparently, he's on an interview on his home station, and we were scheduled to have him at 9:25. So we'll wait and see on that now. In a moment, Owen will remind us, we have requests in for statements to a number of bodies, to Kildare County Council, and indeed, to remind you again, we're still awaiting to hear from the National Transport Authority. But our promotion, which is for a listener to win €1,000 in cash, began yesterday and will continue over the next 2 weeks. Each day, every show on KFM between breakfast and indeed K-Drive will nominate two qualifiers for K-Drive that evening. Then Paul Power will reduce the 10 qualifiers to one who goes forward to the grand final on Friday week. I'll tell you more about that later, because I'm now joined by Alan Kelly, who's a very busy man this morning, obviously, and just off his home station. Good morning, Alan Kelly.
Good morning.
Fair play.
Delighted to be on your show.
Fair play. You're doing a great round this morning, I have to say, in regards to that. So thank you for joining us. You're in where I reside myself, in the Clannad Court Hotel. Well, I don't live in the hotel, but I live in a thai.
Oh, you live in the hotel?
No, not quite. So in terms of your thinking so far, how's it gone?
It's great to be here. We're having a very good couple of days, and thanks to Mark Wall for inviting us and Aoife Breslin. It's great to be in a tie, a place I know well, I've visited an awful lot of times, but we're having a great couple of days here because we're discussing a whole range of issues, but in particular, may I say, how we're going to face into a post-COVID Ireland. And for me, I think everything has changed, and I believe that our priorities have changed as citizens, as human beings. Our priorities now are, without a shadow of a doubt, our family, our communities, our work-life balance has changed, but also then our attitude towards public services, because we see the value of them. And how we're going to embrace this, what are we going to do to ensure we can provide a single-tier health system?
All right, let me come across you there for a minute, Mr. Kelly, and I am going to address all of those issues indeed on health, housing, the current controversies around a variety of issues as well. I mean, let's start with why you're in a tie first, and I appreciate the fact that you like the town. But Mark Wall, who is a Labour senator and indeed son of a former Labour TD, Jack Wall, Mark is a frequent contributor to this programme, is one of the reasons that you're in a tie to focus on the chances of Mark Wall winning a seat in the South Kildare constituency at the next election.
Yeah, Clem, that's exactly it. You know, we have priorities as regards constituencies, and this is number one. Because we believe that the seat is eminently winnable. We have a great tradition here, as you've outlined there, through Jack and now Mark. We have a very hard-working councillor, Aoife Breslin, and we have a great constituency organisation here, and we want to win this seat, and we're coming down here to support Mark Wall. I've done an awful lot of work with Mark. I'm delighted with the way in which he deals with his spokesmanship in defence, sport, tourism and everything else, but also we're hearing very real issues that are in this constituency as well, and Mark has outlined them to us all over the weekend, and we're looking at solutions.
All right, Mark Lee, of course, another Labour councillor who took over from Mark Wall on the local municipal district as
well.
Now, let's talk about that issue of health. You were one of those that drew up the Slánta Care programme, as if I'm correct. And in recent days, as recently as yesterday, we've had a resignation of the chair of the Southwestern body, UCC professor, I think Margaret McCarthy, if I might have got her name wrong there. But in the last 2 days, we've also seen Laura McGahey and Professor Tom Keane resign from the council. What's going on?
I think there is a real concern here, and if you ask me about what is a priority as regards what we're going to discuss in Dáil Éireann over the next few days, for me that is the biggest priority. I think there is a real issue at the heart of the government for the implementation of Slánta Care, and to be honest with you, Clem, I think it's ideological. I'm not sure that they support it. I believe in a single tier health system. I believe that Slánta Care is the solution, but fundamental to that is a change in structures, regionalisation.
And before you talk about structures, when you say ideological, are you saying, for example, that the parties in government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, are opposed to what would in effect be a national health system?
What I'm saying is that as regards their priorities, this isn't where it should be. I'm sure there are people within those parties who are in favour of this. But for me, the speed at which it's happening isn't shows that there is a serious issue at the heart of government. And this can't be all just COVID-based. You mentioned Mark Lee earlier on himself, and Aoife and Mark Wall have brought to me so many cases of people who are waiting for procedures. We have a million people waiting for procedures. We have a huge backlog in relation to a whole range of different areas. And I understand there are issues because of COVID and because some things had to be put on hold and resources were scarce. But when it comes to structural reform and planning for that, there is no reason why this couldn't have been done.
Professor Geraldine McCarthy, who's the professor who resigned of University College Cork, she has resigned from the South South West Hospital Group Board. She has said for 6 years this has been going on, at the very outset of Sláinte Care, and we've heard other politicians over the years talk about this, the great excitement at what was going to be delivered. Now, COVID is one thing, but COVID is a year and a half phenomenon at this stage. Why, and in your view, Alan Kelly, has nothing more or less happened over the last 6 years?
Because it hasn't been a priority. And I think it's also run out of the wrong department. I think it should be from the Department of an Taoiseach. I think it should be overseen by there. I'm not saying being run minutely from there, but they need to take away the politics of the Department of Health out of it. Obviously, their hand-in-glove relationship with the HSE, who have done a fine job in relation to COVID and vaccinations, but this need is such a fundamental reform, I believe it should be run out of the Department of an Taoiseach. That's what we recommended.
Paul Reid of the HSE said nobody wants to get into the change agenda more than the HSE and their teams.
And I hope and I expect that what he's saying is true. But in fairness to the man, he has to do what he's directed by the Department of Health. But if it's done by the Department of an Taoiseach, I believe it'll be a far more encompassing role that they would have to ensure it's happened within defined timelines.
All right.
Like, we need to also ensure that there's a new contract as regards consultants, the whole issue in relation to elective hospitals, the whole issue in relation to community-led teams and the role of GPs. All of that, we haven't seen the progress we need.
All right, let's move on to housing. Are you introducing some measure in the Dáil this coming week?
Yeah, we're looking at a new deal for renters, which will basically look at granting tenancies of indefinite duration, ending no-fault evictions, stop evictions if a property has been sold, and limit evictions for refurbishment or extended family members who are trying to get into houses, changing the deposit rules and changing the rules around how you can and what obligations you have for renting, and also changing the amount of information that a landlord has to provide in order to make renting a more secure environment. We think that this is absolutely necessary, particularly as it's going to take a long time to provide the housing needs that everybody knows.
Long time indeed. And in fairness, the recent measures introduced by the government and the proposed €40 million or thereabouts, or €4 billion in total, is the biggest project ever introduced by any government in the history of this country to address the housing situation.
Yeah, and you know what? I acknowledge, and I'm not one of these politicians who comes on a radio show and is just negative, negative, negative. I think so many aspects of the plan we would support and endorse. But I personally, we believe that building 10,000 social houses a year isn't enough. We don't believe that the volume of houses that are being put out there is enough. I'm very worried that the vacant site levy hasn't been brought in, because I think it's ridiculous when you go around Tay or my own towns in Tipperary or anywhere else around the country, the amount of vacant sites. There has to be a serious levy put on those. I want the Kinney report as regards land value implemented, and a whole range of other issues as well. There are some very good things in it. However, you know what? It has to be delivered on, and that's where the proof will come true if it's delivered. It's one thing producing a report like that or a plan. It's another thing delivering it, and the track record isn't good.
All right, let's move on. I know you're pressed for time as we are here, Mr. Kelly. In terms of Simon Coveney, why don't you think will you support the vote of no confidence in Simon Coveney this week?
Look, when you're a TD, and we seven TDs, you, anytime a vote comes up, you have a choice to make. We'll be voting against the government because we don't have confidence in them.
Should Simon Coveney resign? After all, what he did in terms of, and it's well chronicled at this stage, I won't bore people by going into it again. Are we not talking about something that's at the heart of democracy here? First of all, that there be accountability and responsibility to the people who put politicians into office. And secondly, that what we hear from our politicians is the unvarnished truth and not variations on what suits a particular time.
For me, we'll be voting no confidence in him because we don't have confidence in the government. But Clem, if you ask me, has this issue been raised with me an awful lot? It hasn't. Has the issue in relation to what we just discussed there for a number of minutes in relation to healthcare been raised with me a lot? It never stops. I mean, all the time, our two councillors in Kildare and our senator constantly raising it with me as well. That, for me, would be a better use of our time today because, or tomorrow, because tomorrow will be a bit of a show. It'll be 2 hours. We'll walk, do the lobbies, we'll do the votes, whatever, and then we'll move on. I believe it, there are bigger priorities. Having said that, do I believe the cock and bull story that has been put out by the government? I don't, of course. Do I say this? What does this make this government look like? It makes it look like a complete shambles where people don't trust one another. There's a level of arrogance coming from Fine Gael. There's a level of incompetence coming from Fianna Fáil and a Taoiseach who basically will tolerate anything at this stage.
Okay, but when you say
and a Green Party that's basically irrelevant.
When you say it's not a high priority, and in the context of health and housing, I understand what you're saying, but in the terms of what is the essence of democracy and accountability to the people, it should be placed very, very high. I can tell you, whatever about the reaction you got, certainly the reaction we got from listeners is that people become increasingly cynical about our politicians, and nobody wants that scenario.
I accept that, and for instance, one of the issues I have a huge problem with is how the freedom of information has been treated. Legislation we brought through, we reformed again through Brendan Howland, something that is the very bedrock of what, you know, how people should have access to information.
And is the fact that you're keeping a low profile, Alan Kelly? I mean, are you embarrassed by the fact that Ivana Bacic was caught up in the Merion Gate?
Not at all. Ivana again apologised yesterday. She's apologised on numerous occasions for that. Oh no, that wouldn't be an issue at all.
Okay, final question then for you. What does Labour stand for? And in terms of that, if I might double up on the question, given the time constraints on you and Mr. Kelly, what does Labour stand for? And given the small number of TDs that you have and the relative inability of Labour standing alone to influence matters in Dáil Éireann, would you not consider an alliance with other left-wing parties? And I'm thinking about Sinn Féin, I'm thinking about People Before Profit, and in particular I'm thinking about the Social Democrats.
Okay, well, Labour is the party of work and workers. We want and aspire to representing people who work and who want to work. We believe work should pay. We believe that people who do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay should be rewarded, that they should be able to have a standard of living whereby they don't have to worry about back to school costs, can go on the odd holiday, change their car, etc. Modest enough requirements, but we believe that they should be supported. We also believe in supporting the underprivileged and not allowing people to fall below a certain line. I'm all for working with other parties who believe in what we aspire to at all times. But we're a very, very different party from all of those.
I know that, but would you consider, I know Mary Lou MacDonald in an interview on National Radio this morning has not ruled out the idea of some sort of getting into government with Fianna Fáil, in particular, or other parties. Would Labour get into government with Sinn Féin, with People Before Profit, with Social Democrats, if that scenario represented itself at the next election?
We are a unique and distinct party. We will not rule out or in going into government or not. Unlike many other left-wing parties, we're not afraid of going into government. We know what it takes. It's a very difficult job at times, but we are willing to do that. But we are very different from People Before Profit, who basically have a utopian view that, you know, as regards how everybody can have everything.
And notwithstanding, notwithstanding previous experience of Labour in government, I think about, for example, the Spring Tide under Dick Spring, or the Gilmore Gael under your previous leader, Gilmore.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we aspire to push on and try and win as many seats as possible, and we will look at all the options after that. But we're very different from Sinn Féin. It's debatable whether they are even a left-wing party. We're very different from the Social Democrats. Social Democrats were formed by Stephen Donnelly. We were formed by James Connolly. We're very different from the Greens and everything else. We'll put our own views out there and paddle our own canoe and go in the direction we feel. And if people want to come towards us and want to talk to us post an election, of course. If they want to work with us in opposition, of course we will work with them like we've always traditionally done. But my job as leader of the Labour Party is to get Mark Wall elected to Dáil Éireann and colleagues like him elected to Dáil Éireann and build the Labour Party first.
Labour Party leader Alan Kelly, thank you indeed for joining us this morning live from the parties, day two of the parties thinking in the Clanricourt Hotel in Athy.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Keep your messages coming, and we'll move on now because I want to focus on the issues around silence this morning. Let's start regarding, and by the way, Sharon Nolan, if you're listening out there, oh, we got Sharon now, okay, in regards to that. So let me just, we're joined by both parties in regards to Sharon Nolan of Nolan Properties in Silence, and once again by Fianna Fáil Councillor Carmel Kelly. Good morning, ladies, to you both.
Good morning, Clem.
Thank you for joining us. Let's start then with you, Sharon Nolan. What is the nub? You've been in touch with us in recent days regarding issues around silence. What essentially are the problems that are impacting silence from your perspective?
Firstly, I just want to thank KFM for highlighting this and giving us the opportunity, first of all. So thanks very much. I suppose, you have to bear with me as well, I'm a bit nervous. I suppose the main issues is parking, and the lack of parking already in an area where spaces are in high demand. And two spaces, basically valuable spaces, are being held with planters where they can't be used from when the business in question is closed from a Sunday evening to a Wednesday. In addition to this, there are other concerns, health and safety. Obviously the S254 licence was granted on a public road, and we believe that it's the first one.
What is that?
Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. In July this year, a restaurant, obviously the council wanted to support businesses, rightly so, in COVID. And an Section 254 licence is to erect and maintain tables and chairs in support of a business in car spaces on a public road, basically.
All right, a licence for that was granted. Now, we don't want to name any business.
No,
profile on any business here, but yes. I just wanted to know what that licence was. It gives a business permission to operate outdoor dining in particular spaces, and that is something that pertains in all the towns. We've heard about Naas yesterday. We'll hear more in the second hour about Naas, by the way, from Councillor Shamie Moore, and we have got other emails in regards to silence. Carry on, Sharon.
So we're a group of local businesses and residents in the affected area. When I say affected, Clem, I mean one side of the canal, the relevant side, where this licence has been granted for outdoor seating. I live and I also run a business in the village. Now, I'd like to mention that none of the group of businesses and residents are opposed in any way to outdoor dining, and we fully support the hospitality industry and including that business, like I've done so personally for over the years. And I think it's important to mention that the community welcomes change and growth, and we fully understand that Kildare County Council are showing support for these businesses, but we also feel that the council should show support for businesses outside of the hospitality industry.
So what you're saying in essence, Sharon, is that the support for outdoor dining, and we all understand what that is about, that what has been forgotten about in the mix is how that might negatively impact on other non-hospitality businesses.
Yes, Clem, and some people, even residents there, have put their life savings into their homes, you know.
Well, let me tell you, actually, we had an email from two residents who signed themselves Joan Talbot and Francis Lyons. Owen, mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that email came into us yesterday evening and it says, as a resident of Canal View in Salins in County Kildare, I listened with great interest to your programme this morning, yesterday morning. The situation in Naas is appalling, as well as recognised and stated. Here in Salins on the canal, we have a huge parking issue. Parking bays are few and the residents on this stretch of the canal have no allocated resident bays and therefore take pot luck every time they move their cars as to whether they will find a parking spot on their return, not alone outside their homes, but anywhere within the vicinity. The current situation of fixed planters reserving two spaces for outdoor dining was thrust upon us with no warning or negotiation and has exacerbated an already delicate situation. Plus, these planters block parking spaces for 2 days when the establishment in question is closed. Sadly, this situation is causing huge divide within the local community as we fully support everyone trying to make a living. However, there has to be consideration for all and comprise to reach a solution. KCC are totally responsible for the escalation of this problem. What's happened in Naas is utterly disgraceful and no doubt started a pilot scheme. This disaster cannot be repeated in Salins. Surely, as residents, stakeholders, we too have rights. And as you say, Clem, that came in from Joan Talbot and Francis Lyons. They're both residents of Canal View in Salins.
Okay, Sharon, before I go to Carmel Kelly, that basically summarises your view too, does it not?
Yes, it does. And just so you know, Clem, it's common knowledge in general that businesses cannot avail of parking permits. Residents can, they pay a yearly fee, but it in no way guarantees residents a space. So I suppose by these planters being placed on the public road, I suppose it's very unfair, I suppose, for other businesses who are trying to survive during COVID as well that can't use them when the business is closed.
And do you agree with that? They say they blame Kildare County Council. Was there consultation with the various businesses in Salins, can you tell me, before I get the views of Carmel Kelly?
No, none.
All right. Carmel, we want to talk primarily today about a consultation process that's going to start regarding Hillview, Castlefen, Castlesize, Salins Park, Osberstown Drive and the said Canal Road. But first of all, your response to what you've just been hearing.
Morning, Sharon. Morning, Clem.
Morning.
And look, thank you for allowing me to come on again this morning to talk about these issues. The issues in Salins absolutely to do with parking. And I have been working with the residents of Canal View for, I think, over a year now to try and get some clarity on the parking issues in around Canal View. The issue, as far as I'm concerned, is Salins is no longer a quiet, sleepy village. We've become a very attractive town. Canal, the residents and the businesses on Canal Avenue and Canal View, they have become very attractive for people coming into town. We have cyclists, we have tourists, all during COVID lockdown when we only go within 5 kilometres. Salins became a mecca for people walking. But they came and they drove first. And there is an issue with parking. This is a public road. As Sharon said, the residents have permits, but they don't have permits that allow them park. They don't get designated spaces. It is potluck, and that's it. And because they're on a public road, Kildare County Council and no local authority will give them designated parking spots.
All right, let's talk
and
about...
I had a motion down in May on this, and Sharon knows, and I was given four. I was told, look, it's a public road, you can't do it. But I was given 4 suggestions that the residents might look at going forward. But there's no consensus at the moment on what is the best way to alleviate the situation.
All right, that's one aspect of it, Carmel. Yeah. That's one aspect of it, the residents' permits and you know, that they're not being able to get access to their spaces. And I can understand how frustrating that is. What about the aspect Sharon is raising there, the impact on businesses about the when you have a loss of parking spaces in what's already a very limited situation?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a huge impact. Now, can I say, it isn't that there's a lack of parking. Just on one side of Canal View, there are 2 car parks, 2 quite large car parks that can take plenty of cars. The problem is it is a private car park, and it's €1 an hour to park there. which is quite prohibitive.
All right. Oh, and you live in Sallins.
Yeah, Carmel, just in relation to parking, obviously we know this is not a new issue. It's just been exacerbated now by the pandemic and by businesses coming forward to express their displeasure. But Sallins itself, I mean, there was works done on the main street, which actually took away parking spaces. You'll remember that, just on the main street before you come over the bridge. People in the village are calling for parking spaces. We know even at the train station, there's a lack of spaces as well. So what plans are being brought forward now to maybe increase parking facilities in the village?
Well, I think the issue of the car parking in the train station is going to be alleviated, I believe, in the next week or two when the underground car park opens up, and that has 200 plus car parking spaces. So the issue there will be no longer an issue.
And that's fine for commuters, Carmel, but the issue is businesses like Sharon's.
Absolutely. But as I said, we cannot provide, there's no more space in Sallins to provide car parking on the street. There's maybe an issue, again, you're going to talk about the proposed traffic calming measures.
Yeah.
There is a proposal maybe that there would be more car parking spaces outside what we call the town centre apartments on the main street. That might bring in 4 to 6. But again, that will be up to people to make a submission to say they agree or they disagree.
All right, Sharon Nolan, your reaction? There just isn't space there other than what Carmel has outlined.
Sorry, Clem. Yeah, just to get back to what Carmel said. Also, KCC advised us that the suspension of the parking bylaws in the area because of the granting of that licence, which basically means there's no monitoring and control of the spaces that's there. Other issues relating to that licence are overspilling onto adjoining properties that people are paying rent and rates for, and residential homes. And when Carmel rightly said it is potluck, but KCC surely cannot be seen to give preference to one business. 35 signatures were handed in to KCC, and like I outlined earlier, Clem, we fully support that business. I've done so myself, and it was handed in to KCC about a month ago. It demonstrated the frustration that other businesses and residents in the block area, as I call it, like I said, it doesn't allow for people living on the boats on the opposite side of the canal. And we have heard nothing from Kildare
All right.
County Council.
Owen, did we ask Kildare County Council for a statement on this?
We will after this programme. We've asked them for a statement on Poplar Square. I believe they're coming back to us later on this morning, but we'll get on to them again in relation to Sallins.
All right. Sharon, I'm just going to leave you go for the minute now because I want to talk. I'm just up against time. But we are going to stay on top of this, Sharon, and you stay in touch with us in regards to that too.
Thanks very much,
Sharon.
Bye, Carmel.
All right, Sharon. Now, Carmel is still there. Carmel, I want to talk about this public consultation then, which Sharon might be interested in. And in accordance with the provisions of Section 38 of the Road Traffic Act, Kildare County Council is given its notice of its intention of proposed Sallins traffic calming and cycle track interim scheme. The construction of a new footpath on the Clane Road in Sallins, the widening of a section of the existing footpath on the east side north of Castle Fen, the provision of pedestrian crossing point and pedestrian refuge island south of Castle Fen. Construction of a new junction tables at the following locations: Hillview, Castle Fen, Castleside, Sallins Park, Canal Road, Osbertstown Road will have new junction tables. The construction of a speed control platform at Sallins Road at Osbertstown View, Osbertstown Road at its junction with Sallins Road. The widening the footpath on the east side of Main Street south of the canal. The installation of segregated cycle tracks in Sallins at the following locations: the Clane Road between the Grand Canal and Sallins Park, both sides of the road. Sallins Road between Osbertstown Road and the M7 Bridge in Osbertstown. Views on both sides of the road. Installation of shared footways and cycle tracks on the west side of the Sallins Road, the installation of signal control crossings on the Clane Road, the inclusion of additional pedestrian crossings, and much, much more. That's extremely comprehensive. Will that address, or what issues will that address?
That's going to make Sallins a safer place for cyclists, walkers and motorists. At the moment, Clem, you know, and it was always going to be the case, once the bypass came in, you know the main street of Sallins, it is a long, wide, open, straight road, ideal for speeding, which was never a problem when we had no bypass because, as you know, we had another issue if we were choked in traffic. We have now become a speed track. So this is going to make Sallins safer. There was never, I never did it. I would never allow, even though one of the main reasons I moved to Salins 23 or 24 years ago was, look, there's the local national school. My son will be able to walk safely to school. That was never possible.
All right. Now, we've all
kind of... So it's going to be safe.
All right. And the public consultation is open...
From today
at 12 noon to the 12th of October. So anybody in Salins who wants to make reservations on that, go on to the website kildare.ie/countycouncil, etc., and you'll be able to follow the links.
Kildare. And I will have that up on all social media platforms. I will alert all of the groups within Salins and anybody...
Okay.
That is interested, please contact me, or I've sent you the details, Kim, and I'd really appreciate if you put them up on your website.
We will. We'll put those up, and I'm sure Ciara Plunkett and the news team will cover the opening of this consultation today from 12 noon.